Obviously, we just played the Jets a little while ago, but you know, we still have to start our preparations all over again and really get back and focus on them because we've had so many other teams to work on in between. So we've got to really be a big challenge for us this week to go back and really be as thorough as we need to be and should be, and not make any assumptions about what things were like a month ago. I think they definitely have changed, but. As usual, the Jets are a good defense. Pretty good, on everything. Really good against the running game. Good against the passing game. They hit the quarterback. They cover the receivers. They just do a solid job. Always dangerous in the kicking game. Atlanta saw the first punt. Offensively, are off. Well, their defense all there. tight ends and receivers, a lot of different personnel combinations, things like wildcat and a normal running game, but also an option running game, quarterback keep, things like that, similar to what we saw from Philadelphia. So what to get ready for. They have a lot of scheme plays in all three phases of the game. They're very much of a game plan team, so what you see one week, you may or may not see the following week, so we're going to have to prepare for a lot of different things.
Hey, Bill. Going against a Rex Ryan coach team a week after going against a Rob Ryan coach defense, them springing from the same coaching loins, how closely related are their schemes?
Well, I think there's certainly a lot of common threads. I'd say the biggest thing that I would say is the same is that they're both game plan coaches. So, and meaning that what they decide to do in one game be dramatically different from what they do in a game. I would say is common threads based on personnel that they have and how they match up with the opponent. They'll take their basic defense, which I think there are some similarities in their basic defenses, but they'll take those and modify them to try to maximize the use of their personnel and address the threats that they feel like they're facing offensively and attack the weaknesses of their opponent. And I'd say that's the common thing. So what that is could be very different, or it could be similar, depending on how closely they feel like they match up with the same team. I mean, I'm obviously sure that they'll talk this week, have talked this week, and that type of thing. And I'm sure that they'll exchange information. But again, I think these two teams know each other pretty well. The players, the coaching staffs. We just played each other a month ago, so how the Jets and the Patriots match up is a little different than how we match up with another team or they match up.
Just one follow on that. Is that why division games are always such rock fights and you, regardless of records, regardless of time of year, you will often open your conversation by saying, hey, we're back in the division, or that's a good division win, because there is such familiarity that kind of levels the playing field?
I'm sorry, well, give me that again right at the end, Tom.
Sure. This familiarity may seem to take away the element of surprise. There's not much that you can do, and that's why division games, regardless of how well or poorly teams are playing, often seem to be extremely competitive. Is it because of the familiarity?
Well, I think that can, kind of work both ways. It's an interesting question, and something that you... when you compete against somebody and you know the competition and you continue to know better as you study them and compete against them, you can sometimes be more creative because of their tendencies or their matchup that you think you can create. And maybe you over the team that you didn't know as well because you're not quite as sure that you could, how predictable you would be able to get predictably you'd be able to get them into a particular situation or, you know, that you could take advantage of, where you might feel differently about a team that you're much more familiar with or a player that you're more familiar with, how to attack them. So, you know, I think it can go both ways a little bit. And because sometimes you feel like you have a little bit more time with your preparations because you don't need as much time on the scouting report, you don't need as much time on the personnel, that your players have some recall experience against that team, that you can spend a little bit more time game planning or creating something that's a little bit different. And sometimes you can't when you have to expend a lot of time and energy just in trying to get the basics, get everybody to understand the basics and how you're going to handle the core things. And then sometimes that limits what you're able to, what you have to do, but sometimes it could limit the amount of creativity you want to put into a game when like you got your hands full just handling, basically. So it's an interesting question, interesting dynamic. You know, I think you see it in all those sports, and I think basketball is a better example than baseball because you have so many different pitchers in baseball, but in basketball, you know, you've got the same guys out on the court pretty much every game, you know, playing back and forth, and some games are, you know, dramatically different than others, even though it's the exact same players playing multiple times a year. You know, something comes out a little bit differently, and you know, I think that's about the intrigue of the division games in the NFL.
Bill, obviously you faced Geno Smith and the Jets. It was the second week of the season, his second career start. Can you just talk about him, how he's improved since week two?
Oh, well, I thought he played an outstanding game against Atlanta. You know, it was a big drive at the end of the game. Longer, but, you know, similar to what he did against Tampa, where they were behind, and he was the, you know, the guy that drove him down the field and put him in position to, you know, to win the game. So, you know, I think he shows a lot of poise in there, and looks like he's getting a little better each week. They seem to be expanding the offensive attack with personnel groups, formations, plays, you know, and building on it on a weekly basis for him and obviously the entire offense, but, you know, certainly for him in the passing game. So I'm sure that they're gaining confidence in him, and they're just giving him, you know, different looks, more, you know, more expansion in the offense, and as I'm sure they feel more comfortable with him doing that. So those are the big things. I mean, you don't see a dramatic change in his play. I mean, he's still, you know, his mechanics and his athleticism and all those things, I mean, are fairly consistent over the first part of the season. But, you know, I think you do see it, a moving of the offense in a wider direction to incorporate some of his skills and the experience that he's gaining.
And I'll follow Julian Edelman said after the game that you guys work on that two-minute drill somewhat consistency on Thursday of every week. Are there some weeks where you might practice that a little more than just once a week, or was he incorrect? I guess the question is, how often do you do the two-minute drill?
We usually do it. We usually do it once a week. You know, in training camp, we do it usually on a daily basis, but in the regular season, it just gets, you know, down to a question of time. How much time can you commit to all the different situations? You know, there have been times where we've done the two-minute drill probably twice in the week, and there's probably been times that we haven't done it at all because the emphasis was onto something else, whether it was four-minute or red area or let's protect, pick up, or whatever happened to be. So, you know, we try to make sure that we get all our bases covered. Usually it's a once-a-week drill, and we usually do it without timeouts so that we can emphasize in the hardest situation, which is, you know, the continual play and keeping the ball moving and, you know, stopping the clock by getting out of bounds or spiking the ball so that we create the type of situation that we had at the New Orleans game. With, I mean, that's really as tough as it gets, where you have to, you know, go down the field with just a little bit over a minute and no timeouts, so you don't have any artificial way to stop it.
Hey, Bill, in weeks like this, when you go up against, as you say, game plan coaches who can vary what they do dramatically from one game to the next, do you find yourself more than usual evaluating your own weaknesses and then putting yourself in their position, saying, this is what I would do with their personnel to exploit our weaknesses?
Well, I think you have to certainly have an awareness of that. Yeah, if there's something that you've had trouble with in the last, you know, since we played them, you know, whatever we've had trouble with, plays or you know, a certain type of blitz or whatever it happens to be, a certain type of coverage or, you know, a certain type of play that we've seen offensively that, you know, we look at and we feel like, you know, we haven't defended very well or haven't, you know, handled very well, then you got to get those fixed because you're going to keep seeing them on a weekly basis. If not this week, you know, it'd be next week or, you know, I mean, you're certainly going to get those. So we try to get those things fixed. That's what one of the big parts of our Monday film session is win or lose, however the game turns out, is to make sure that things that came up in the game that we didn't have handled properly, that we address those so everybody at least understands that this is what we need to do, because it's really a foregone conclusion that it's going to come up again. So, you know, the dangerous thing is trying to, when you're game planning, defend ghosts, you know, well, here's what we think they're going to do, and you know, they could do this and they could do that and then spend time preparing for that and they don't really know whether they're going to do it or not, you know, so you could waste a lot of time there. You know, as we kind of like to say, you know, what if the offense comes out in 9-foot line splits? I mean, you know, how much time can you spend doing that?
Right.
Never seen it. They could do it. Could be a problem. But, you know, when's the last time we've seen that in this league? So it's just, there's a balance there, and sometimes you just get a feeling that, oh, this is the way it's going to go, and if certainly you have an indication, for whatever reason, that that's something, you know, that you're going to get some type of new game plan or new element to, that haven't shown, or they've only shown a little bit, but this could be the week that they feature it, and you could shift your preparations to that, no question, but it's a little bit of a, you know, guessing game. It's kind of a dangerous one because you put all your eggs in one basket and then happen to be wrong. And you spend a lot of time preparing for something that, you know, you don't even see. So that's the game within the game, exactly.
Hi, Coach. Both Armin Armstead and Mark Harrison are eligible, I believe, to begin practicing this week. Are they ready to have that happen, and have you made that decision?
We haven't made it yet. I mean, that's one of the things that we'll be, you know, talking about later on today. And if it doesn't happen today, then it'll be a conversation that we'd have next week and so forth. So, so some of the things we do on Tuesday, we, in addition to game plan for the Jets, talk about our roster, find out, you know, what the expected practice availability is for the players, how to structure practices, how to, you know, would players may be able to participate on Wednesday, which ones may not, which ones we're going to have to take out there and take a look at on the field and see. We won't know until we actually get out there with some guys. So, yeah, that's all part of what we do on Tuesday, figure out how we want to practice during the week, which is similar to the question that Bob just asked about which areas we want to emphasize, whether it's two-minute drill, red area, blitzes, you know, punt protection. I mean, we're going to do all of it at some point, but there may be one thing that we want to put a little more emphasis on this week than we did last week because of this and because of what the Jets do. So that's all part of Tuesday for the coaches.
Okay, Bill, we've seen Brady bring you guys back in the past, and he's always so calm on the sidelines. Obviously, this week, past weekend, and I think last year against the Jets, you were down by 3, brought you back in the last 2 minutes. Where does that poise and calm come from? Was he always like that, or did it develop through the years as he got experience and familiarity with your offense?
No, that's pretty much always been a trademark of Tom. I mean, even go back to the first year, you know, we were in some some really tight games, you know, throughout the year, but particularly at the end of the year, the Oakland game in the snow, you know, obviously the Super Bowl, and you know, I think Tom showed a lot of poise and composure in those games, which is as big as it gets, you know, his first year as a starting quarterback. But even throughout that year, when he, you know, first took over for Drew and started to become, you know, a regular player, you know, we were in a lot of tight games. Some we won, some we lost, but I've never felt that there was a sense of panic or discomfort or anything with Tom. He was always very, very poised and also always had a real good vision in the game, you know, even after, you know, it could be a bad play that happened or, you know, an interception or a turnover or something, you know, when you come to the sideline, okay, let's talk about what happened on that play. You know, he would very clearly, you know, say this, you know, this is what I saw, this is what happened, this is what this guy did, this is what the safeties did, this middle linebacker was here, you know, this is what I saw on the route. And you go back and look at the film, and that's all those things happened, you know, the 6, 7, 8, 9 things that he described were pretty much the way the play unfolded. And so I think that's something that really was one of Tom's greatest strengths, is his ability to see the field, remain calm, remain poised, even though, you know, the stadium may be going crazy if we're on the road, or, you know, the situation may, he may only have, you know, a couple seconds to work with, or, you know, whatever the circumstances are. He does a very good job of, you know, knowing what the situation is, but not getting consumed by it, and focusing on the execution of that particular play or sequence of plays. And I think that's one of his greatest strengths as a player. And it's, I think it was evident from the 2001 season, and it's been very, very consistent. Same thing in practice. Try to, you know, throw a new, which we do on a regular basis, you know, we throw something in there that maybe the other team hasn't done, or we haven't seen in a while, but something that, you know, just to keep us on our toes, or, you know, run something that a team ran a couple weeks ago and hurt us with it, see if we're ready for it this time. And, you know, he's very, very good about that too, you know, being alert, being focused. And again, when you ask him what, you know, what happened, or what, you know, what he saw on the play, he's usually 99% or maybe even higher, you know, right on the money with, you know, what he saw is exactly what happened. He processed that very well.
Thank you.